Psalm 146, the Word of God says, "Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the Son of Man, in whom there is no help. His breath goeth forth, he returneth to his earth. In that very day his thoughts perish. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, which made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that therein is, which keepeth truth forever, which executeth judgment for the oppressed, which giveth food to the hungry. The Lord looseth the prisoners. The Lord openeth the eyes of the blind. The Lord raiseth them that are bowed down. The Lord loveth the righteous. The Lord preserveth the strangers. He relieveth the fatherless and widow. But the way of the wicked he turneth upside down. The Lord shall reign forever, even thy God, O Zion, unto all generations. Praise ye the Lord." Heavenly Father, we do ask and pray that your hand of blessing would be upon the message this evening, that you would guide and direct my thoughts, Lord, that they would be what you want them to be. The words that you want said are the words that you would want said. Lord, I desperately need you and need your help. And Lord, we all desperately need you this evening. Lord, you help us. Would you arrest our attention this evening? Lord, that the distractions would be set aside. Lord, that we would have listening ears. And Lord, I pray that this message would be exactly what it needs to be for the individual, whether it's to be a blessing, whether it's to be an encouragement, comfort, whether it's to be a correction, reproof, whatever the case might be. Lord, may you use it. And Lord, may it go forth to do the purpose that you have for it to do tonight. Lord God, I pray these things in your name. Amen. So Brother Ian, I'm going to switch over here. I think we're on. Unmuted. All right, good. I got the thumbs up. Praise the Lord. All right. So Psalm 146 here. So this psalmist in Psalm 146 gives here, he begins with four wonderful words and really a command, if you will. And we're going to talk about that this evening. And that's praising the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. And really, I believe it starts with Psalm 145. Now, Psalm 145, it does say in the title that it is a psalm, David's psalm of praise. Then recognize the next five psalms, 146 through 150, they don't necessarily say that they're psalms of David. And my opinion is that it is David, because in a sense, Psalm 103, which is a psalm of David, starts out the same way Psalm 146 does. So that's just the thought that I have there. But again, that's Brother Pritchett's thought. Take it, run with it. Take it with a grain of salt. Is that how that phrase goes? But whatever the case is, the psalmist goes to wonderful lengths to remind and to reinvigorate the reader to a constant praising of Jehovah God. The psalmist, through the inspiration of the Spirit of God, made sure that the reader began and closed his reading with those four words, praise ye the Lord. Psalm 146, it begins and ends that way. Psalm 147, the same. 148, 149, and 150 all begin and end with that charge, if you will, praise ye the Lord. It is a great reminder. It's a challenge, if you will, that he is saying, I mean, he's not telling us, hey, you ought to praise the Lord, but in a sense, really, he is saying, praise ye, you, us, praise the Lord. He clearly recognizes its importance. Again, my opinion here, I believe that Psalm 146 and 1 through 150 could be continuances or even extensions of the 145th Psalm. And again, even if David isn't the psalmist, we do know this much, that God is the author of the Word of God, the Bible that we have, and he knew exactly how to arrange the Psalms. And he arranged it in such a way that, again, it makes simpletons like me say, hey, I believe this follows that, and it follows it well, and so it could be an extension continuance, all right? There's Brother Pritchett's thoughts. You, again, take it with a grain of salt, if you will. But that word praise, we've heard it said, we've read it in Scripture many, many times before, but that word praise in the 1828, Webster's 1828 says,
It is to commend or to applaud. And we read this word in Psalm 145, to extol in words and songs. We may have to go away from this in a moment. But to extol, or yeah, let's just go away from this for a moment, brother.
Pulpit there. Forgive me for that, folks. I don't think I'm going to do a whole lot of moving around. If not, I think I project loud enough where it should be okay. Can you hear me back there, wifey? All right, she gives me a head. Thank you, love. But praise, to commend, to applaud, to extol in words and song. Here's, I love this next one. To magnify. To magnify, too. What is that? It doesn't mean just to make it clear, but that it is. It does make clear, but it means to magnify. When you take a magnifying lens and you look at something, does whatever is in that magnifying lens become smaller or does it become bigger? Becomes bigger. Magnify. Make God bigger, if you will. If God can be made bigger. Yeah, I think you get the idea there. But to glorify. Now, here's another definition. Another part of that definition. To glorify on an account of perfection and excellent works. Perfection and excellent works. Might we be talking about God here? It means to express gratitude or thankfulness for personal favors. Count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. And then lastly, to display the excellence of, to display, again, to make a show of. If we were to take and look at that word praise in the Hebrew word behind that, now you might hear another, beginning the sound here. Let me just give you the word. It's halal. Halal is the word. And when I hear that, it reminds me of another word, that word being hallelujah. Hallelujah. Or we may hear a derivative of that word, that or a variation of that word being alleluia. And what that even means, it simply says this, to shine, to cast the light on, to make it bright. Again, to make it clear, to illuminate, make big, put God on display, celebrate him, boast of him, rave about him. I was thinking about it. I asked my wife if I should do this, and she said that's probably not a good idea, and so I listened to her tonight. I was going to split up the auditorium here and have this side over here be the hallelujah, 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 hallelujahs, and this side over here be the praise you the Lords. And then we'd swap, and then we'd have somebody be in the middle and say, all right, this side was louder than the other. But then my wife said, yeah, that's probably not a good idea. So thank you, wifey. You saved me on that one. And I'd probably have another day in the office, so I guess my next day in the office would be packing my stuff, and then the day of, no. But think about that. That song we sing, the song that we sang in junior church, in children's church, hallelujah, 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 praise ye the Lord. It's not just a children's song. Think about what that song is doing. It's praising the God of heaven. It's lifting him up. The thought of God. His sovereignty, his goodness, his faithfulness, his holiness, etc., ought to stir us up to praise him and to make this praising him our everyday business. Not just here and not just there. I recognize and realize that there are other things that happen in our day. And we may put aside praising God for a moment so we can get this concentrate on this task here. But when that task is done, thank you, Lord, for giving me the physical strength. Thank you, Lord, for giving me the senses to be able to do or whatever it is. We ought to give God praise. It ought to be our everyday business. And it is necessary that we praise, and that's the glorifying, and worship, that's the adoring him, on a daily basis. Why is it so important that we do this? Why must praising God be a necessary part of our daily lives? Well, I've got 2 points for you this evening. There's going to have a few thoughts underneath each of these points, but we're going to do our best to go through this fairly quickly tonight. But the first point is this, reminders on why we ought to praise God. Reminders on why we are to praise God. First, let's look back at our text this evening, Psalm 146. The first 4 words again is, praise ye the Lord. Now, are there any, I'm sure there might be, and maybe you don't want to admit it, maybe there might be some English buffs in here. If you remember the types of sentences that there are. There's the declarative sentence, that one that gives the facts. There's the interrogative sentence where that asks a question. I know there's two more, but the fourth one escapes me. But the third one I'm thinking of, there's an imperative sentence. And there is that quote-unquote understood you in that statement. So if you look here at praise ye the Lord, who is he talking to? You praise ye the Lord. Me praise ye the Lord. And how do I, and where do I get this from? Because look at the next statement. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. It's imperative. It's important that we praise God. It's a challenge. It's a charge there. And who should praise God? Well, that's us. Praise ye. That's you and me. That my soul, as a collective group of believers, also individually, we praise the Lord each evening. Each time we come together, we open up the hymnals and we sing hymns of praise. We sing choruses of praise to our gracious and loving Heavenly Father. And then we're at home. You might break into a song. Just hum it, sing it, whatever. Whether it's on key, off key, it doesn't matter. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Psalm 100. But who is to praise the Lord? Well, it's us. It's important that we do so. How long should we praise him? The psalmist here says, while I live. The last time I checked, when you're living, that means you're breathing. That means your heart is still pumping. There's that that you're able to speak. And he says, as long as I have, or while I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. Even if he wasn't able to open his mouth, and all he could do was just think. He was going to praise God. I can't help but think of Psalm 150 in verse 6. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. I think, you know, when we hear the birds in the springtime, I guess we do hear a few flying creatures every now and then, even at this time. But think about the birds, the whistling, the chirping. Man, I'll stand outside on the parking lot on some days, and it seems like there's two birds just kind of going back and forth at each other. It's like, oh, okay, well, we'll leave you to that. But you hear the birds chirping and whistling. Perhaps that's their praising God. God gave them breath as well. In fact, I mean, the reason why we even say that, because when you think about it, when you go back to the flood, everything that had the breath of life in it perished. Well, even those animals. But anyway, we praise God. Those of us that have breath, praise him. The purpose for our praising, verses 3 through 5, put not your trust in princes, nor in the Son of Man, in whom there is no help. His breath goeth forth, he returneth to his earth. In that very day his thoughts perish. Happy is he. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. You know, the purpose for us, for our praising of God, is to demonstrate where our trust and our hope lies. It's not in princes, ought not be leaders in man, because guess what? Words and thoughts of individuals, they're going to perish. They're given to failure. It ought to be in God, whose words will never perish. He cannot nor will ever fail. See, a result of proper placement of trust and hope in our Lord and Savior, in God the Father, brings happiness. That's favor of God. That means being blessed. So it's important that we praise God. We are to praise him. We're to praise him as long as we have breath. We're to praise him to demonstrate our trust and our hope lies in him. But then some reasons why we ought to praise him. Again, these are all just reminders on why we are to praise God. Let me give you a few reasons under that. Verses 6 through 8. So let's back up into verse 5. Whose hope is in the Lord his God, which made heaven and earth, the sea and all that therein is. He is the benevolent creator. He is our creator. It says the end of verse 6, which keepeth truth forever. He is the eternal keeper of truth. John 17:17, sanctify them in thy truth. This is Jesus speaking. He said to the Father, thy word is truth. He is the perfect judge, verse 7, which executeth judgment for the oppressed. He metes out perfect justice and judgment. He is the gracious provider for those in need. It says here, food for the Lord, which giveth food to the hungry. Can't help but think about in Matthew chapter 6, where Jesus is speaking there with the Sermon on the Mount, and he says to those that are listening, that even the Gentiles have thought on what two things? Food and raiment. And God would supply. Well, guess what? He has supplied, and he continues to supply, and he will. He is the gracious provider for those in need. So again, it's important that we praise him. Praise him as long as we have breath, to show that to show where our trust and our hope lies. And why? Because he's our creator. He is the keeper of truth, the perfect judge, the gracious provider. Then in verses 8 through 10, there are just some declarations of God's deeds that are due praise. We're not going to look at all of them. There's just highlight just a couple of those here. And in verse 7, it says, "The Lord looseth the prisoners." I can't help but think that God is the author of freedom and liberty. He truly is. Not only that, but he's the author of our salvation. Think about it. We were once prisoners and enslaved to sin. But because of our Lord's death on the cross, for his shed blood, and the fact that he rose again, that we can trust him and believe in him, we are no longer at enmity with God. We are at peace with God. Let's look here. He looseth the prisoners. Let's look down in verse 8. At the end of verse 8, the Lord loveth the righteous. You can write this text down here. Psalm 34, 15 through 22. Here's a few verses from that. "The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them all out of their troubles." Verse 19, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all." 1 Peter 3:12, "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil." He looseth the prisoners, loveth the righteous. Another, "He turneth the way of the wicked upside down." I love that. "He turneth the way of the wicked upside down." Proverbs 15:9, "The way of the wicked is an abomination unto the Lord, but he loveth him that followeth after righteousness." Proverbs 12:3, "A man shall not be established by wickedness, but the root of the righteous shall not be moved." Proverbs 12:5-7, "The thoughts of the righteous are right, but the counsels of the wicked are deceit. The words of the wicked are to lie in wait for blood, but the mouth of the upright shall deliver them. The wicked are overthrown and are not, but the house of the righteous shall stand." Our God turneth the way of the wicked upside down. And then lastly, I just want you to look at verse number 10. "The Lord shall reign forever, even thy God." And you know, Christ will be king. He already is the King of Kings. And when he comes back, it'll be written on his vesture, "The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords." No monarch or monarchy will succeed him. His kingdom will be without end. Luke 1:32, and I love 1 Timothy 1:17, where it says, "Now unto the King eternal." He is the eternal wise God. So folks, it is important that we praise God. And those are just a few reminders. And that was the first point. We'll finish with this evening. But let me give you a second point this evening. We just gave you some reminders. But what is it when we fail to praise God? So we have reminders to praise God, but now there's the failure to praise God. Let's go to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. We're not going to read the entire chapter. We're just going to highlight some verses here. I would encourage you, I'm sure this is a familiar passage of Scripture, but I encourage you to reread it at another time, but we're just going to take a few thoughts here. Now, let me just remind you of the word praise and what that means. Again, that's to extol in words and song, to magnify, to glorify in the account of perfection and excellent works, to express, this is the one I want us to keep in mind of, to express gratitude and thankfulness for his blessings, for personal favors. So I want you to keep that definition in mind, and the word praise here and glorify. But again, we're just going to take a few moments here and highlight a few things in Romans chapter 1 about what it is, what failure to praise God leads to. A failure to praise God for who he is and for what he has done and for what he is doing will lead one on a downward spiral of sin and deprivation. Let's look at verse 18 of Romans chapter 1. "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his external power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Let's keep reading. Verse 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. And what's those next three words? Neither were thankful. What is praising God? It is expressing gratitude towards him for the blessings that he has given to us. And talks about here the world that takes God and makes God into an image. That's verse number 23. They change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man. When one fails to praise God, that's not thankful for what he has done for them, how he has made them, for how he has blessed them, and what he continues to do on a daily basis, the Bible said leads one to vain imaginations and a foolish and darkened heart. Verse 21, let's get back there. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Vain, meaning empty, profitless, to render or become foolish in areas of morality and idolatry. A foolish and darkened heart, that's a heart without clear understanding and destitute of light. We've read the passage in Scripture, I believe we even read it recently, but in John chapter, I believe it's in John 3, where it talks about men love darkness rather than light. The hearts of men were continually evil from their youth. That's in the book of Genesis. So even back in the beginning, God had made mention of that. But a foolish and darkened heart is a heart without clear understanding, destitute of light. Failure to praise God leads to vain imaginations and foolish and darkened heart. It leads to pride and idolatry. It's a lifting up of mankind above God. Secular humanism, which is professing one to be wise. Verse 22, professing themselves to be wise. By changing the glory of God into an image, they became fools. You see, when one fails to thank God, guess what? They're putting something else in God's place. And you know what? It doesn't have to be. Oh, let's put, I feel like it was you or somebody else did the idea of water. Put some eyes in a smiley face on this and let's worship the water bottle. Yeah, it'd be kind of goofy. But it's not necessarily just these, an idol that one can see, but it's those of the heart. We love something or someone more than someone. But failure to praise God leads to vain imaginations, a foolish and darkened heart, pride and idolatry, leads to a disconnect from the Creator. In verses 24 and 26, we see a couple of times where it says God gave them up. A disconnect. It leads to outright and blatant rebellion against the Creator, verses 27 and 28. And likewise, also the men leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. It leads to outright blatant rebellion against the Creator. It leads to being filled with all unrighteousness. There's a list of things in verses 29 through 31. But then lastly, failure to praise God really just causes one to have pleasure in their trespasses and transgressions against their Creator. Verse 32, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. When the thanks and the praise does not go to the one who deserves it, it's going to go somewhere else. It's going to go somewhere else. We may look at ourselves like, oh, yeah, you know what? Yeah, I'm good. Yeah, I did great. Oh, wait. But God gave me the strength to do whatever that is. So we talk about reminders to praise God, but also what it looks like a failure to praise God. So let me ask you the question again. Why is it so important that we praise God? Why must praising him be a necessary part of our daily lives? If I can put it this way, an ungrateful heart and a discontent and covetous attitude are truly a detriment to a society as well as to individuals. When we praise and worship God, he is placed above all else. Remember, making a display of, to shine, to magnify, to lift up, to extol. He is placed above all else, and his grace, his compassion, his goodness, and tender mercies are clearly evident to us in all his works. Let's go back to Psalm 145. Go back to Psalm 145. I forgot to tell you to put a bookmark there. I love these verses. I'm sure you will too once we read them, once we're reminded of them. Verses 8 through 10 of Psalm 145. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. The Lord is good. Note those next two words. To all. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies over all his works. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. As Christians, we should remember that we are to give thanks for everything. And everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And this giving of thanks is part of our responsibility in this life and is God's will. A joyful, grateful Christian sets himself or herself apart from this world. And guess what? It's noticed. We're filled with the Spirit. And in evidence, an outflow of being filled with the Spirit, remember Ephesians, I believe it's Ephesians 5, speaking yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and make melody in your heart, giving thanks. It ought to outflow. There ought to be a difference between the Christian, the believer, and the one that does not know our Savior. So what ought we to do? Again, looking at Psalm 145, first and foremost, let's commit to thanking God every day. Psalm 145, David's psalm of praise. I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Sounds like a commitment to me. Commit to thanking God. And that's the magnifying him and through our lives. Make a big deal of him. Again, that word extol has the idea of raising up. Secondly, what ought we to do? Commit to worshiping God every day. That's the adoration. That's the adoring him. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. The thought of bless thee has the idea of kneeling before God in adoration. Let's declare our God to someone else. And may I put it this way, specifically to the next generation. Verses 3 and 4. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. So, one generation, tell of the glory and of the goodness of God to that next or another generation. So that generation can, man, God did that for them. God can do that for me because I know that my God never changes. He is forever the same. And as he did glorious works in the Old Testament, we've read about those. We see the works of our Lord and Savior of our God in the New Testament. And even today, we still see his wondrous works. So declare his goodness. Declare our great God to someone else, specifically another generation. Declare our great God to someone else so it can be rehearsed over and over and over again. Verses 5 through 7, I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works, and men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness and shall sing of thy righteousness. Declare our great God to someone else so it can be rehearsed over and over and over again. Then lastly this, verse 21, my mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his name, his holy name forever and ever. Speak the praise, that's magnifying the Lord. Speak the praise of the Lord so that all flesh may know and bless, that's adore him. Adore his holy name forever and ever. So folks, if I could just leave you with this challenge this evening of praise ye the Lord, how about we make it a, and here's the title for the message tonight, a New Year's commitment to praise the Lord. Praise Him every day. Commit to thanking Him every day. Commit to worshiping Him every day. Declare His goodness to someone else, specifically another generation. Declare His greatness to someone else so it can be rehearsed over and over. Speak the praise of the Lord so that all flesh may know that there is a God and bless His holy name forever and ever. New Year's commitment for all in 2023. Let's commit to obeying the psalmist's charge. Praise ye the Lord. Heavenly Father, we do thank and praise your name for this evening and for this time we're able to have in your word. Lord, I know it was the thoughts that were shared, Heavenly Father, are nothing new. And Lord, it could be said by probably more than likely anybody here in this room. Lord, I pray you'd help us to remember that you deserve all the praise, that you deserve all the glory, that we need to commit to letting everyone know who you are, of your graciousness, your goodness to all. Lord, may we extol you each and every day of our lives. And Lord, may it not just be on January 1st of the upcoming year, but may it be even as we go our separate ways, even tomorrow, the day after. Lord God, may we remember your goodness and your kindness, your love, your tender mercies, and praise you and adore you and worship you because you deserve it. You are worthy. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for this evening that you've given to us. I pray that you would dismiss us by your grace here. I pray these things in your name. Amen.